He's lost her mind altogether, amen. But anyway, I'm glad I'm saved tonight, and I've enjoyed preaching. I enjoy fellowshipping with Brother Bill Howard.
Amen.
I call him Brother Bill. I hope you don't call him by his first name. Call him Pastor, amen, or whatever. But I love fellowshipping with him. I love him and appreciate his family. They never gave me a minute of trouble the 11 years that I pastored them there in South Carolina and stood for me. I had some folks rise up against me a time or two, and your pastor stood with me in the gospel, and I appreciate that. And if you rise up against him, I'll stand against you for him. Amen. I'll stand with him. I love him. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 21 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 21. I've enjoyed preaching. Yeah. Hadn't had any trouble knowing the mind of the Lord as far as what text he would have me to read and the scriptures he would have me to use. I've had good liberty to preach, and that's because your pastor's been preaching before I got here. So I appreciate him. And I did preach on soul winning last night. This church needs to get a burden, a vision, and try to reach out to others.
Amen.
I didn't preach that to embarrass you. I preached it to encourage you to try to be a witness and lead somebody to Christ. Probably all the souls that's been saved under my ministry, probably most of the work, a great majority of the work, is done outside the church before they get to church.
Right.
If you get them and pray for them, let them know you love them, and get them here to hear God's man preach, and a lot of them will get saved by the grace of God. If you pray for me tonight, I do not think I have as lengthy a message as I have had. Usually, whether I try or don't try, I preach about 45 minutes, but I may not be that long tonight. But anyway, 1 Kings, I may be longer, so just... when I take my watch off, that don't mean a thing, amen? So I had one brother take off and beat it on the back of his hand, take it on the pew and see if it was still working. But I don't, I'm really not a long-winded preacher. It'll be folks watch a ball game. The ball game, I think, starts about 8 on the east. I guess it's probably maybe about over, but anyway... I was driving the church bus one time, taking a load to somewhere, and had to sit on concrete bleachers when we got there. And these two women sitting on the first seat behind me, she said, "I'll tell you one thing." Said, "I ain't listening to no preacher for 30 minutes, that anybody can preach in 30 minutes, and that's long enough for anybody to preach, for anybody to have to sit and listen to somebody preach." And we took them down. It was a band. The bands were marching and all that. And we had to sit on concrete slabs in the bleachers and sit there all day. Wouldn't listen to a preacher on a padded pew for 30 minutes, but sit on a concrete slab and listen to folks toot their horn for all day long. Amen. So what I think just depends on what you love and what you want to do. Amen. But quickly tonight, 1 Kings chapter 21, a familiar story. May have been a while since you read it. But it's about a king by the name of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And they didn't get elected last time, but they have been in office in the United States before. But nevertheless, and there's another man in this chapter by the name of Naboth. And we're going to look at him tonight. You follow as we read. The Bible said it came to pass after these things. We probably ought to stop and read back through there. We won't take time to do that. But the Bible said, after these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it? That sounds honest and fair. Your next door neighbor's got a piece of property and you'd like to have it. And you say, "Well, I'll trade you a piece of property as good or better than it is. Or if you don't want to trade, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." So that sounds pretty reasonable in verse number 2. "And Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.' And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal. You men better get the checkbook away from your wife. And sent letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, Proclaim a fast. Set Naboth on a high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had said unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they said to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned, and he is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. I'll stop there for the sake of time in just a moment. Verse number 23. And says, Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Verse 25, But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Would you ask God to help me tonight? Father, I do love you. Now I want to thank you tonight one more time for saving me by the grace of God. Lord, thank you for saving my wife and letting us serve you together. Thank you for every open door you've ever given us. And Lord, the opportunity to this week to be here with Brother Howard in the church. And I thank you for the good liberty we've had to preach. And I thank you for the opportunity one more time to stand tonight behind this sacred desk and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray the Holy Ghost might speak through these lips of clay tonight, Father, to this congregation. And I pray the lost would be saved, the backslidden would get right with God. And I pray the church would be stirred, and Lord, the saints would be admonished to stay steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. I do pray for all these requests that's been mentioned every night, Father. I pray that there'd be divine intervention and the will of God be done. But Lord, help us tonight in this service and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story tonight, as I mentioned, prelude to the reading of the scripture, there's a king in Israel by the name of Ahab, and he's living down in the palace at Samaria. And hard by the palace, or next door to the palace, there's a little common fellow by the name of Naboth, and he's got a little vineyard. I picture it, I don't know the exact size of it, but I picture it to be a little garden spot, a vineyard there next to the palace, and they had the king sat maybe and looked out the palace window, and he saw that little vineyard there next to the palace, and he said, "I'd like to own that. Why, I'd like to walk down through the garden and smell the blossoms and enjoy the flowers and the scenery in that vineyard. So I think I'm going to buy that vineyard." And he went down to his next door neighbor by the name of Naboth, and he said, "Hey neighbor," said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trade you some good property for that little vineyard that you've got there hard by the palace." And Naboth said, "No, sir, I don't think Ahab that I'll sell the vineyard." And he said, Ahab said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you don't want to trade it up, I'll give you good money for it. If you just sell me that vineyard, I'd love to have it. It's right here next to the palace, and I'd love to have it, and I think y'all will sell it to me." And Naboth answered him again in verse number 3. Notice what he said. Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I should sell to give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And so when he would not sell the vineyard to King Ahab, Ahab turns around, and I can see him pouting. He'd have made a good Baptist. I remember a lot of churches I've been in before. I can picture him pouting like a little 3 or 4 year old child, and probably stuck his thumb in his mouth, and he pouts back up and goes up the stairs and goes into his bedroom and slams through the door, jumps in the bed, turns his face over to the wall, and he's laying over there on the bed looking lost. And Jesse, his wife, she comes in the palace, and it's kind of quiet. She's looking for the king and looks in the parlor, and he's not in there, and begins to look around, and she hears something a whining and a moaning and a mumbling and a grumbling. Jesus back and opens the door. She said, "Ahab, what in the world is wrong with you?" And he said, "That old Naboth that lives out here beside us, he wouldn't sell me his vineyard, and I offered him good money for it, and I'm going to give him a good trade, a good deal, better property than that old vineyard he's got, and he wouldn't sell it to me." And she said, "Oh, honey, don't you worry about Naboth." Said, "Aren't you the king of Israel?" She said, "You just go ahead and suck your thumb, and I'll get that vineyard for you. You just don't worry about it, darling. I'll get it for you." So Ahab, I guess he stayed in bed till she wrote all those letters, and she signed them and stamped them with Ahab's seal and sent them out. The Pony Express and the runners came, or whoever, they got all the letters, and they ran them out to through the city. And old Ahab, he's still in the bed, got his face to the wall, and he's milking his chin, sucking his thumb, whimpering and whining and carrying on. Jesse's taking care of all these letters and all these things. I've seen some men like that I've pastored sometime. Amen. They're dominated by some female in their life. I thank God for good women that's got some stamina and character about us. But I tell you, Jezebel's a terrible character in the Bible. And the Bible said when the dogs ate her up, they couldn't even eat all of her because she was so mean and tough. Amen. I'm not dealing with her, but I'm dealing with her little spineless husband tonight. He's a little toad sitting in a slimy slough. Brother R.G. Lee said he's on a teetering perch, and he's sitting up there. Jezebel marching around like she's got the whole world under her thumb, and I guess probably she did. She probably ruled the kingdom more than old Ahab did. He's laying back in the bedroom of sulking, and she's got that old scheme and conniving mind of hers. It's in overdrive, and she gets this plan. If I just send these letters out, and I'll tell them to proclaim a party
involved in exalting him and to get him up and lift him up. And I then get these two fellows, sons of Belial, and I don't have time really to deal with them, but said, we'll get them and we'll say that he blasphemed the king and blasphemed God. And when those proclamations are made and you hear what he's done to the king and to God, take him outside the city and stone him to death. Now you listen to me. And so that occurs, and they write the letters, and they get made bomb, and they're applauding him and maybe exalting him, and these two bills come up. It's amazing how people's opinion can change, isn't it? One time they're thinking, God, that's the best preacher in the world, and I'm telling you, the first time you get in there, take a roll, they can't stand you. They'll say all manner of evil against you, and they'll wish you was back in South Carolina, well, somewhere in a Reliance Electric. Amen. It's amazing to me how God sent me to Taylor's in 1971, and one fellow said, I'm in a vision. I saw a picture of this young man. I was 25 years old, 6'2", weighed about 185 pounds, and I went in there, my dark wavy hair, and he said, I had a vision of that preacher. That is a man for the job. I'd been there about 5 weeks. I got his tater road. I could tell you a whole lot about it. I really don't have time. Here's some of his kinfolks here last night. I'm glad I didn't preach this last night. Amen. It's a small world we're living in. But nevertheless, that man changed his mind in about 5 weeks. It comes Sunday morning on the, he said, we got the deacon together and we want to meet the pastor in the furnace room. That's a bad place to meet a preacher in the furnace room on fire now, amen. And so they took me downstairs, a little young whippersnapper, a preacher, 25 years old or so, 26, whatever. I was a young man, first time I'd ever pastored, and the last time, amen. I just stayed there 36 years, never could get my mind made up to leave or stay. And so I just waited until God told me to go. Took him 36 years to ever tell me to leave. But that fella said, young man, it's time for you to pack your bag and get back to Florida where you came from. I said, well, sir, you called me up here to this church to be their pastor. And I said, I'll just listen to the church and not you. You're not the big daddy rabbit around here anymore. I didn't mean to get into this, all this, amen. But I'll just run a rabbit when one jumps up. I'm a good deer hound. But if a rabbit jumps up, I'll run him for a while, or a fox, or anything else. Amen. And so the deacons murmured and grumbled and complained and threatened me and told me what all I needed to do. And they said, what are you going to do, son? I said, I'm going back upstairs. And I said, we're going to have a business meeting, and we're going to take a vote, and we're going to vote me in or you out, one of the other. Listen.
Amen.
And so we went up the auditorium. I called the church into a conference in the business meeting, and we took a vote. And praise God, when they counted the votes, I come out on top. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen the first week of November, whenever the election is, but I tell you, whoever comes out on top is probably going to be the winner. Amen. And so I came out on top. And you know what we did? We dismissed the whole deacon board, all four of them, dismissed them, and told everybody else that liked them better than liked me to get the road and go with them. Amen. You say, that's kind of mean, preacher. Well, I was trying to hold on to my hide, doing what God told me to do. And so we need somebody tonight that'll stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You listen to me. But the people's opinion and attitude towards Naboth, it changes from one way to another. Listen to me tonight. I don't have time to deal with it. But just because you hear something about somebody does not mean it's true. Amen. You can hear anything in the world about John McCain. You can hear anything in the world about Barack Obama. You can hear anything about his wife Michelle. You can hear anything about Sarah Palin. And you can hear about anything you want to. Here's a good thought. Just put it in your heart. Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. Amen. And you might be in pretty good shape. But these people heard a lie on a man by the name of Naboth, and they take him out and stone him to death, and they send the word back to the Jezebel and said, Naboth is stoned and he's dead. I can see a smile come across that 64-tooth heifer, and it went from here. if you look, he still lived in there where he was when it started. He never had gotten out of bed for several days, and he's laying back in there.
That's right.
I want that. I want that figure. I've got to have it.
Amen.
Old Jessie comes strolling in like she's got ball bearings for ankle joints. She glides into the bedroom and she said, "Darling, Nabal is stunned and he's dead." And then old Nathan hated her. "Huh?" "Said he's dead." She said, "Go down and look at the vineyard. It's yours." Now, he got up, took off his nightcap, pulled his drawers up, put them on, strolling down through the vineyard.
That's right.
Man, I got a good vineyard. I'm all of this place. Here comes an old preacher. He's one everywhere, ain't he?
Amen.
God's got them all everywhere.
Amen.
Here comes Elijah. He comes walking around. "Hey, what you doing, Nathan? Ahab?" "Ah, just looking over the vineyard here. Pretty, ain't it, Elijah?" Yeah, it sure is." "Said, this is Naboth's vineyard." "Nah, this is my vineyard. Naboth's dead. Did you notice in your story when God sent Elijah down there? Look at verse 18. "Go down, meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. He's in the vineyard of Naboth." It's still Naboth's vineyard. You listen to me?
Amen.
Still Naboth's vineyard. I'll tell you why in just a minute. "Whether he's gone down to possess it, thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and hast thou taken possession? And saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." Here's what I'd like to preach. Thank God and Greyhound, he's gone. Amen. I'm telling you, the dog did lick up Naboth's blood, but the dogs also licked up a man's name by the name of Ahab. Do you listen to me? You always reap what you sow, and they stoned Naboth to death. And I'm telling you, he probably like Stephen, he looked up and said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." No, that's not in there. But Naboth died right. But old Ahab's going to die, and he's going to die wrong. Will you listen to me? God sent him a message by the mouth of the man of God in the middle of verse number 19. "Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and taken possession? Now thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark "sold thyself." Then over in verse number 25, "But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness." Let me preach for about 30 minutes tonight, if I can, by the help and the grace of God, on "not for sale." Are you listening to me? If you'll go down through that chapter, here is the king perched upon his throne over the whole nation of Israel. Now they're in the palace where God had allowed him to get to. I'm telling you, the Bible said Ahab is the most wicked king that Israel had ever had. I'm telling you, God may allow us to come out in this election and come out on the short end of the stick, and they were getting this nation in the awfulest mess that we have ever gotten into. But I'm interested in this fact tonight. Here's what God said to Ahab. He said, "You have sold yourself." I want to preach on "not for sale." If you mark your Bible in this text tonight, Ahab the king sold himself. If you look down in verse number 10, the Bible said that they sent two men, sons of Belial. Those are men that are off the street. They went out and conjured up some witnesses to witness or tell a lie against Naboth, and those men were for sale. I don't know what they gave those two devils, sons of Belial, but they said, "Here's a $10 bill. What I want you to do is to rise up, and when we get Naboth out yonder and everybody's looking at it, you come in
two sons of Belial in verse 10 are for sale. Look at verse number 11. And the men of the city, they were for sale. Even the elders, that's the religious elders in that day, they were for sale. And the nobles, that's the politicians, if you'll study your Bible, they were for sale. Who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. You know what's wrong with Ahab? And you know what's wrong with the two sons of Belial? And you know what's wrong with the elders of the city? And you know what's wrong with the nobles of the city? They're under the thumb of petticoat kingship. And they're being ruled and reigned and dominated by this sinful, wicked woman by the name of Jezebel. And everyone sold themselves. Are you listening to me? If you know your Bible, the Bible said Judas Iscariot, he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, as had already been prophesied in the Word of God. Ahab sold himself. The two sons of Belial sold themselves. The elders of the city, the religious men, sold themselves. And the nobles, the politicians, sold themselves. I'm telling you, it looks like everybody's for sale. Amen. I'd like to ask you this tonight. Are you for sale? What would it take to buy you? What would it take for you to cash in and sell out and say, what's the use? It's not worth it anymore. I could name a few names tonight. Your pastor is well familiar with them. I pastored a millionaire one time by there at Bridgeview Baptist Church, and he's dead now, so I don't guess it'll be any hard to tell you about him. He was my friend, and but he's carnal as the day is long. He told me one time, said, everybody is for sale. He said, everybody has got their price. I said, sir, that's a good saying. A lot of people, I've heard it over the years, but I said, I do not believe everybody's for sale, and I do not believe everything is for sale. Right. He said, well, I'm getting to be an old man. I think everybody's got their price. I think everything's for sale. I know a piece of property out on Highway 29 in Taylor, South Carolina, and it joined hard to this man's property. And this man, Mr. Joy, he wanted to put a little driveway to go back into his property and go behind the building. And he needed about 2 or 3 extra feet wide enough where you could drive a car down his property line and get in behind his building. And so he went to the next door neighbor. There's a big bread company there now, I think, and an insulation company. But nevertheless, he went to this man. He said, sir, I want to buy your property. That man said, my property, sir, is not for sale. And Mr. Joint said, oh, yes, sir, it is for sale. He said, my property, sir, is not for sale. Our brother Joint said, well, would you sell me 2 feet of strip down this property line? And he said, I'll give you $1 million an acre. He said, sold. He didn't buy an acre. He bought 2 feet. About 75 feet long, remember how long it was. I don't know what part of an acre that is, just a little bit. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give you $1 million an acre for this piece of land. And that man sold it, didn't bat an eye, and they figured it up, whatever, $10,000, whatever that little chunk of land came to. And he just moved the property over, had lane to go behind his building. He said, preacher, everybody and everything is for sale. That same man come to me later, and my wife is here tonight, and he walked into my house one day, and he pulled out a sack or a wallet or something, wore a bit of dope drawers, and he got it out, and he laid out 10. He said, preacher, here's $10,000 I want to give you. I said, sir, I don't want it. He said, I've had a good deal. I've come in with some money. I've had a good, successful business transaction. I want to give you $10,000. I said, no, sir. I don't know. I thought about it today. I don't know if it's in the back of his conniving mind that he 2 or 3 years before that had pulled that deal on me about everybody's for sale. I don't know if he waited 2 or 3 years. I know this, but the devil's not in any hurry. And there's a lot of folks who are like an old Missouri mule. They'll work for you 20 years to get one chance to kick your brains out. Amen. I wouldn't be surprised if that old conniving man did wait 2 or 3 years and then he said, jail, and I could use $10,000 if he came in tonight, I might take his $10,000. Amen. But he put that out, my wife's there, and I said, sir, I don't want your money. I can't use it. I'm not going to take it. And he stood around there and talked a while, and out the door it went. I'm glad I didn't take his money. Amen. I'm telling you this tonight, I am not for sale. Are you for sale? What would it take to buy you out tonight? In my text tonight, a man by the name of Naboth, he was not for sale. You listen to this? The king's for sale. The Bible said the king sold himself. The Bible said, Pastor, that the religious elders sold themselves. Isn't it a shame when some Jezebel can rule the church and never keep her thumb on everything? May God deliver us from that. I tell you, isn't it a shame when the nobles, that's a politician, that were in their day were for sale? Would you let me say this tonight? We have got a bunch of pug-nosed, blurry-eyed, half-drunk politicians in Washington, D.C. that have sold this nation out, and they sold us down the pathway of destruction, and we're on a toboggan slide going to hell tonight. As sure as I'm preaching you, this nation has been sold out by the Republicans and the Democrats and the rest of the night, and there's not hardly 50 cents worth of difference in the whole political crowd tonight. But I'm telling you, we've been sold out by the elders, we've been sold out by the nobles, and this nation tonight is in a terrible fix because everything apparently is for sale. And if you don't believe that, I'm telling you, Wall Street and every bit of it is being manipulated, and them fat cats are getting rich, and the poor people are starving to death. And it's not going to get better, it doesn't matter who gets in there, it's going to get worse before Jesus comes. But I'm telling you, we need somebody tonight that'll stand up, praise God, on their new fall, and get flat footed like old Naboth did, and say, I refuse to sell out. Would you listen to me tonight? Naboth said, God forbid me that I should sell my inheritance. If I had time to take you through the Bible, I could take you through Leviticus, I can take you through Numbers. I believe I looked it up in the book of Ezekiel a while ago. I can show you several places in the Bible where God said, do not sell your inheritance.
Amen.
Your inheritance. God divided the inheritance up between the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob, and he said, you cannot sell that inheritance. Do not sell your inheritance. Here's what Ezekiel said. I looked it up. I'll give you the reference if you need it after church. God said, don't sell your inheritance because I don't want you scattered and blown around with nowhere to go and nowhere to live. I want you to have your own place.
Amen.
I don't want you to be a nomad and sell out your inheritance and don't have anywhere to stay.
Amen.
It sounds good. There's a lot of things sound good today, but when that Bible forbids it, God forbids it, and we can't do it.
Amen.
If that hadn't been his inheritance, and he could have made a little money on changing property and selling property, I don't think there'd have been a thing wrong with that. But this Bible said, Naboth, you cannot sell your inheritance. That's what he said in verse 3. Are you listening to me? He said, God forbid, in the latter part of it, the Lord forbid me that I should give thee the inheritance of thy my fathers unto thee. Would you listen to me? I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, and we are being sold out. I'm telling you what our forefathers died for. We are being sold down the grave. Thank God you've got an old-fashioned Holy Ghost field, sky blue, blood red, Jordan River preacher that believes the Bible, and he's not going to sell out. If he does, I'm going to come
your
Who your pleasure crazy.
Amen.
Do you ever have me back? Let's try not to arrange it during the playoffs of the World Series, because Baptists ain't going to church when the World Series is on.
Right. Amen.
Boston got me.
I hope they both lose tonight. I don't know how they're going to do that. But I hope they both lose.
Amen.
Ahab sold out. Sons of Belial sold out. Elder sold out. Noah sold out. Everybody sold out. And old Ahab, here's what he said. Back right in the Bible, here's the way I'd have said it. I would rather be stoned than owned.
Amen.
I'd rather die than somebody to buy me. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, if you are for sale, somebody's going to buy you. You can mark that down. If you are for sale, the devil will go for the price, whatever it might be. The devil will get you to sell out. But thank God there's one by the name of Naboth, for alliteration's sake. He wouldn't sell his heritage. He had something. I think Naboth probably said something like this. He said, Ahab, we're neighbors. And I want to be a good neighbor. I want to love you. And you're the king. I want to respect those that are in authority over me. But he said, God forbid. In the Word of God, Moses pinned it down, sir. I cannot sell you my inheritance. He said, Ahab, as a little boy, I remember my grandpa. And I remember my dad. They were out here with an old mule. And they were getting these rocks out of this vineyard, out of this field. I remember my grandmother, my mother, coming out carrying a bucket of water. And they brought that water out to Grandpa and my daddy. And they gave them water while those men sweated and cleaned up this piece of property. And I remember planting those vines in here. And I'm a recipient of that, Ahab. And God said I couldn't sell it. I don't want to sell it. I'm not going to sell it. It is not for sale. And old Ahab had a fit.
That's right.
And he said, I'll kill him to get it.
Yep.
And he did.
That's right.
Our inheritance has been sold to the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans and everybody else around the world. They're owning up more, and I'm not picking on your forefathers or your nationality or whoever you are. But I'm telling you, this nation has been sold down the drain.
That's right.
When you borrow billions of dollars to give folks a stimulus check, it won't work. We are in trouble.
That's right.
You say, I don't like you, preacher. No, you're probably first cousin that he had, too.
Wouldn't work in a pie factory. They don't know what this is.
That's right, preacher.
That is sweat. S-W-E-A-T. That's what's running down my back and running in the shoe. It's sweat. That's what God said in the book of Genesis. You'll earn your living by your sweat.
That's right. Amen.
You sweat and preach hard as you eat what you want to. Not for sale. Are you listening to me? Are you for sale? You for sale?
Ahab wouldn't sell his heritage.
It's passing your seatbelt. Don't let the airbag pop out now. It'll block your eyes and hurt you. About give you a toothache and everything else. Ahab wouldn't sell his heritage. There's another young man in the Bible by the name of Joseph. You remember him? Joseph 37. Sold down into slavery. Sold into captivity. He never got bitter, and I got a message I may have preached the last year. But Joseph's down there. Everywhere he goes, God's with him, God's blessed him, God's honored him, and God's got him faithful. And he ends up under Potiphar's domain there. Potiphar put him in charge of everything he had. And Potiphar was too busy and stayed away from home too much to waste the men that I know. And he had a lonely wife at home. That young Hebrew boy is working in there and laboring in there. She set his eye. I read it today. She set her eye on him.
Yeah.
You catch her looking at him, you turn it.
wouldn't sell his honor.
Amen.
Naboth wouldn't sell his heritage. Joseph is a Christian. He said, I'm not selling my honor.
Amen.
She asked him day after day after day. Finally, she latched a hold of his coat, I guess his garment. And while she was pulling on him, he slipped out of that garment and ran off. And she said,
wait, wait, the Hebrew servant tried to manage me.
That's right, Bruce.
You read the story in Genesis 39. You men don't get into a place where you can get in trouble.
Right.
As good looking as I am, I don't go anywhere without my wife.
Amen.
You know I'm joking, though. I don't care how ugly you are, buddy. Somebody will know your eyes for you. Maybe a moon eye. That's the handsome preacher I ever saw. I've had them come through Pleasant View. I'd preach hell so hot you could smell the bacon, the burning, and the frying pan. And some old gal be sitting there. But preacher, I got in the row right in the face and preach hell hot. I mean, you judge the God one who said,
yeah.
Ain't heard a word I said.
Right.
Are you listening? Joseph wasn't for sale. If he had been for sale, nobody home, nobody would have known. But he wouldn't sell his honor. He had some character. I'm telling you, there is an anemic condition in our earth, on this earth today, and it's for somebody that's got some character.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? You get mad at me if you want to. My daddy was an old countryman in the hills of West Virginia. Worked like a dog, cut timber in the woods and pulled timber out of the woods with a team of horses. Worked like a mule, pulling, cutting timber, and when he'd get drunk, he'd go crazy, and they were fighting all things to go along with liquor. That's the way I was raised. And my daddy had more character as a lost hillbilly in the mountains of West Virginia, drunk about 3 or 4 times a year, stayed drunk 6 weeks at a time, had more character than most men in Baptist churches today.
Amen.
He paid his bills, took care of his family, and got drunk when he wanted to.
But he was honest, and you bank on his word when he told you something. You're in trouble, boy. I was in trouble. When Mom said, I'm going to tell you, Daddy, when he gets home, I'd do my best not to be home when Daddy got home. That's the way of character. Just old-fashioned, down-to-earth people that had some character about them. You could believe what they say. I know Baptist preachers that's from Crooked tonight, they could crawl through a barrel of fish hooks and not get hooked one time. Like a slithering eel, like a wayhead, slithering through a barrel of fish hooks.
Amen.
Naboth wouldn't sell his heritage. He said, my daddy worked in these fields, and I just think I'll die here because God told me not to sell it. Joseph said, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? He said, besides that, miss, he said, your husband has put me over charge of everything. He said, he don't even know what he's got. I'm in charge of it, and I'm over everything but you, and you're his wife.
Amen.
No, it's still wrong to commit adultery.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Still wrong to commit fornication.
Right.
In the Bible, sinful sex outside of marriage is fornication, and after marriage it's adultery.
Amen.
That's a simple scriptural definition of scriptural fornication and adultery. And Joseph said, I am not dishonoring God and dishonoring my body. I'm going to keep myself clean and pure. God, give us some young people to stay pure.
Amen.
Naboth wouldn't sell his heritage. Joseph wouldn't sell his honor. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, there's another man by the name of Daniel. And Daniel purposed in his heart, He would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor the portion of the wine that he drank. Now you listen to me. Daniel said, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to God, and I am not going to defile my body. I am going to take care of it. And he said, I make request, O king, that I don't have to eat this stuff and drink this mess that they're trying to feed us. I belong to God. My body belongs to the Lord. And I'd like to keep my body pure. And throughout the book of Daniel, you'll find out that God honored those men and those young men. And they kept their health. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. A man by the name of Daniel wouldn't sell his health. You young people, listen to me. I'm going on 68 years old, and I was up putting up a tent so I could preach in the mountains here a while back. And I'm not bragging. May God, I hope some of you don't know me, but I'm not bragging. Right out of being in hell when my back broke, and the skin worms and all along my body. But we were up in West Virginia putting an old gospel tent up where we could tell some of those hillbillies I went to school with back yonder 60 years ago about God. We put that old tent up. We got those tent stakes. I don't know how many of them, about 100 of them around that tent, two-fold tent. And those young men got out there, some of them 18 years old, some of them 24 years old, and they got them sledgehammers out. I said, get out of the stinking way. Bang! They said, you're getting soft spots in the ground, what you're eating. I said, no, I had smoked myself to death.
Amen.
Bit myself to death. And I had broke myself to death. And I take care of my body.
Amen.
Are you listening? I'm getting ready to throw these glasses away. My eyes are getting better all the time. I told my wife yesterday on the way to church, I said, I can see like an eagle. Are you listening to me? Get off the couch.
Amen.
Get that gut off and go to work.
Amen.
Get you a sledgehammer. You know what I do for spare time? Split cords of wood. I like it. I like to work.
Amen.
I'm enjoying it. Praise God. I don't know what you're doing. My wife says, you're going to overdo it. I said, well, I'm lying, but I've got one more big old log out there. I'm going to split and put it in the woodshed. Winter's coming. I want some firewood.
Amen.
I just split the wood and throw it to me. Couple days to get over. I'm not going to sell out my hell for the beggarly pleasures and sinful desires of this old flesh.
Amen.
This generation, you young people, and I love young people. Thank God for you. I had a church full of them. This generation is going to have the strongest stone and the least time that generation's ever come along. Throw them stinking toys away and get them a wage of wood, get them a wage of sledgehammer, get them out there splitting wood. Are you listening? Naboth wouldn't sell his heritage. Here's what I'd been him. I'd have said, I'm an American, red, white, and blue, and royal blood flows through my veins, and I love this country. And if you don't, you ought to get out of it, whoever you are. Amen. Right. Now I'm telling you, Daniel wouldn't sell out his health. Joseph wouldn't sell out his honor. I'm not sinning. It doesn't care who knows about it, who does not know about it. The Bible said all of our sins are open and naked before God. You listen to me. No sin has ever been committed that God does not know about. And no sin has ever been committed and hidden in the earth. Some of you are like Moses. You remember down in Egypt when Moses saw those two arguing back and forth, an Egyptian and a Hebrew. Remember that, Levi? And they're arguing back and forth. And Moses saw that Egyptian about to get the best of that Hebrew boy. And Moses went up there and slew him. I probably knocked him in the head with something. And he looked around and dug a hole. Put that Egyptian down in the hole. I think he buried him on his back. And he covered him up. Looked around. Nobody saw him. And he went and the next day the wind started blowing. And there was that Egyptian's toes sticking up out in the ground. And his buddy come along and said, Moses killed him. And he told Moses, you going to kill me the way you killed that Hebrew, that Egyptian the other day? And Moses headed out for the backside of the desert. You can't sin and get by with it.
Amen.
Be sure your sin will find you out. Preachers get in trouble. Churches get in trouble. Folks get in trouble. They think they're going to get away with their sin. I have pastored people. There's a young woman in my ministry. She's in jail right now for murder. She thought she was so smart. She was so dumb that she thought she was smart enough to get away with murder. That's how dumb she was. She's not on trial yet. She's got a $250,000 bond. She's going to be sent up to the Hoos Down somewhere. She's been in there for 2 years or something, and getting ready to be sent to a lifetime in prison the rest of her life. Thought she could get away with murder. Dumber than a box of rocks. I have talked to her, prayed with her, begged her, pleaded with her, took her out of choir for her fools, just set her on the pew, slobbered all over trying to preach to her, wept with her neighbor on my knees, begging and crying, asking God to help her, and she's still so dumb she thinks she'd get by with her singing. And you can't do it. I've lost my glasses, but I don't need them anyway. Amen. Naboth wouldn't sell his heritage. Joseph wouldn't sell his honor. Daniel wouldn't sell his health. You young people, listen to me. Don't ever take a draw off a cigarette.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Don't ever take a drink out of a beer bottle.
Amen.
The drunk on the street one day took his first drink.
Right.
My wife's brother told me, he said, Larry, everywhere you go, would you preach for me? I said, what do you want me to say? He said, tell these young people don't never smoke the first cigarette. He died with emphysema.
Mm-hmm.
He said, tell them what I have done to myself. He said, I brought this on myself. His lungs rotted out and he died. And he said, when you go preach, please tell them not to smoke.
Amen.
Could I ask you to quit tonight?
Amen.
It's going to kill you.
That's right.
Amen.
If the Lord wanted you to smoke, you'd have had a smokestack up the back of your neck where you could take a big draw of smoke up the back of your neck.
That's right.
It's stupid to take that poison into your lungs.
Right.
Amen.
I don't inhale. Now, I know you don't. You're so smart, you're going to be the first one that gets by with it. There's another man in the Bible named Joshua. Joshua 24:15. Joshua would sell his home. Joshua would ask that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You take a good look up here, buddy. I've been saved 42 years. About 41 and a half years ago, somewhere about there, after I realized my responsibility as a dad and as a husband, as head of my home, we got our family together and dedicated our family to God and said we're going to live for Jesus the rest of our life. Serving God's going to be first in this household. He's going to be the unseen guest at every meal, the listener to every conversation, and we're going to honor God with our family.
Amen.
I refuse to sell my family out.
Amen.
Yours for sale. If your family's for sale, the world will buy it.
That's right.
I've got a verse of Scripture. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own son?
That's right, preacher. God help.
It says so. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose your children?
Amen.
What's your profit?
Amen.
Can I tell you this, and I'm through. This is a technology generation. We know that it's advancing so fast that you can't keep up with it. Now I'll tell you this, if I had a family, Miss Raines and I were not involved in this computer and internet and all that stuff, but if you have to have that, and if you're involved in that, keep it out in the living room.
Amen.
Where everybody can see it.
Amen.
And don't put your children back in the bedroom on the internet.
Amen.
It's worse than being a rattlesnake for your children to be in the night by themselves with the internet.
Amen.
creditors and filth and anything on this earth they're exposed to if they're back there by themselves. And I don't know what you do about it, but I tell you this, my family's not for sale.
Amen.
My ministry's not for sale. My health is not for sale. I hope the Lord lets me live 100 years and die preaching. My honor's not for sale.
Amen.
Liz, are you for sale? What would it take to buy you?
Margaret,
Liz,
you other young ladies, some hairy legged guitar player from Nashville will slide through here picking his guitar. He'll even buy him a King James Bible, put it under his arm, and make a profession of faith and let's preach a bad time. Just to get you to go out with, get you out of church. I have seen them, brother. I'm telling you, the devil in disguise come through the church to get those young girls out of church.
That's right,
preacher. Yeah, I've seen young men. I ought to be living for the Lord. Some old gal, double jointed like old Jezebel was, she'll come sliding through church like a sick, slick, slimy snake sliding slowly southward. She'll come slithering in there with a. She wears a 12, but a 10 feels so good. She buys an 8.
That's right.
So looks like she put 10 pounds of turnip greens in a 5-pound poke and she's just got to blow out right there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, preacher.
They get them out of the will of God and they're just like a horse rushing into the battle. Jeremiah said they're just rushing into the battle, rushing into that filth and garbage is going to be destroyed.
Are you listening to me? Are you for sale? Is this church for sale?
You know what your preacher could do? Let me tell you, church members, I'll quit. I've got 3 or 4 minutes. Your preacher could quit preaching on things. Short the service now. Get out here every Sunday morning at 12. Get out here every Sunday evening, an hour or so, a little bit of singing. Cut you preaching against sin out. Have a little social plug. Have a good fellowship. Laugh and giggle like a bunch of foolish religious people. And sell out for a number. And this church will have to build another building in a year or two.
They're doing it everywhere. I'm telling you, Miss Mill and Miss Rain, we're preaching all over the country. They're doing it everywhere. No standards. Just come as you are, do as you please, live the way you want to. And a lot of Baptists love to have it so. And if you aren't careful, you'll sit back in this church. You'll say, that Pastor Watson's so hard. If he would just ease up, this church would grow. No, it wouldn't grow. Here's what happened. You may have heard the illustration. This preacher was going down the road, and he said there's a dead dog laying on the side of the road. That was on Wednesday night. He come back by on Sunday, and that dog was bigger on Sunday than it was on Wednesday. His wife, he looked at his wife, and one said, is that dog growing? He said, no, that dog's swelling. It's going to bust and be a stink all over the community.
That's right.
These religious folks, little preachers, want to be a big preacher, and the little church wants to be a big church, and so they forget about preaching, forget about living right, forget about doing right, and the thing starts swelling. I'm telling you, about a year or two, it's office blow up, corruption, and everybody in town holds their nose and says, if that's what Jesus is, I don't want anything to do with it.
Amen.
Let me ask you this, are you for sale? Could the devil buy you? The world's full of Jezebels. The world's full of Ahabs. The world's full of things that are for sale. Thank God there's a pew that's not for sale.
Amen.
I hope you're not tonight.
Amen. Amen. May we last the song with it, can we do? Let's stand tonight.
There was a man in the Bible named Esau. He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Boy, he wanted it back. He wanted the blessing of God too, and he lost that, didn't he?
Yes, indeed.
You sell out for a bowl of soup, sell out for a cigarette, drink a liquor, sell out for a little romp with a wild woman or an ungodly man.
Yes, indeed.
What are you selling out for? God help us not to sell out. Preachers selling out all over the place. I don't want to sell out.
Amen.
I just didn't get out of the ministry and start compromising and letting up and not saying, telling people what the truth is.
Amen.
It's real to me. Living for God is real to me.
Amen.
It's not a game.
No, sir.
I'm not playing games when I come to church. I'm not playing church. I'm trying to live for the Lord, amen. But what are you selling out for tonight? Has the devil bought you real cheap? The devil's going to buy me. I'd want to get a good price. So many, I hope I wouldn't sell out for a good price. As the preacher was talking about, the man selling a little bit of property for $1 million an acre. Devil can't get you for a dollar, he'll get you for a million.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. What are you selling that for? Would you come to the altar tonight? We're going to sing an invitation song, 161, in your songbook tonight.
Oh,
house tonight, and I hope as all the messages that